Good. Let's take the Word of God tonight. We'll go to Matthew chapter number 5. And it's great to be here once again. Thank you for the opportunity to come. And what a privilege it is. And yes, we came in on, of course, Saturday. And then we were able to surprise our assistant. And the church did. Of course, the deacons knew. But it was exciting to be there. And we thought we had shed all the tears we needed to shed until Sunday, you know. And so anyway, we're thankful. He was with me for 8 years, and what a blessing he was, him and his wife. And they have one son, and we got very, very close. And you know, when you go through trials together, that draws you close to one another. And you know, he came right out of college. In fact, when I hired Brother Stevenson, he wasn't even married. But he was getting married, and that was kind of the agreement. You have to get married, all right? And he was already engaged at the time, and my wife and I flew to Kansas where he got married to his wife, and so we've been very close to them, and so, but I'm thankful he's doing what the Lord wants him to do. Well, it's great to be here tonight, and I'll tell you, you know, I was surprised. Let's see, I preached the first time on Tuesday, correct, at Ambassador. And, of course, we're from Ohio, so we're Ohio State fans, all right? Just so you know, we won the championship, just to let you know that, all right? But anyway, Dr. Bill, I couldn't believe how many Michigan fans are at Ambassador. There is needed revival there. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, I asked how many Michigan fans. There was probably 30, you know? If you're a Michigan fan, would you raise your hand tonight? All right. Pastor Davidson, your church is infected, all right? I mean, really here, you know? No, we have Michigan fans in our church, too, and of course, if you know anything about the rivalry, it is the number one rivalry in all of sports. I mean, it's just intense, and so, of course, we've had to eat dirt for 4 years in a row, and so anyway, but it's a lot of fun, and we have a good time with it. Well, we come to Matthew chapter 5. I do think that most of us, as we come to this book of the Bible, we will notice what is given to us here. And we'll notice that we call these the Beatitudes. And I want to look at one of them tonight, and I pray that God would use this in our hearts and lives. And I want to talk to you tonight about the true strength of meekness. The true strength of meekness. Now, there's something about meekness. I don't know that we pray often, Lord, help me to be meek. I don't know if it's something that we even think about often. It's something that we contemplate. But if we go through Scripture, there is definite a need for meekness. In fact, let me just read to you. Psalm 22:6 says, "The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him." So we find that the meek will eat and be satisfied. There is a contentment about meekness. Psalm 25:9 says, "The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way." In Psalm 147, verse 6, it says, "The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground." In Psalm 149, verse 4, it says, "He will beautify the meek with salvation." And then in Isaiah 29, verse 19, it says, "The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord." And as I began to study meekness, I began to understand God has much to say about meekness. Now, we often think of meekness as something weak. And many people might say meekness is not weakness, but it's not cowardice. It's not being a coward. It is not, in a sense, flowing with the culture of this world. So what is meekness, and how do we understand the true strength of meekness? We come to Matthew chapter 5, and I want us to begin in verse number 1. And the Bible says, "And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And then in verse number 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, if you have ever looked at the Beatitudes, you're going to find out something, that the Beatitudes are impossible in our own strength. It's impossible. In fact, the Beatitudes are in direct contradiction to what our flesh really wants. I mean, this is a work of the Spirit. And it is only the Holy Spirit that can produce meekness in your life. In fact, brethren, let's understand something about meekness. That as we come to Christ and we understand Him who is meek, He teaches us the true strength of meekness. Number one, I want you to notice meekness explained. Let's explain it tonight. Now, we live in a world that worships power and rejects any evidence of weakness. But may I be clear about this, that Bible meekness is not weakness. In fact, we might say of someone, well, they are such a meek and a quiet person. But when we say meek, we're not really meaning what the Bible has to say about meekness. The word meekness literally means used to the hand. And the very idea about meekness, it is talking about the taming of a creature that is wild by nature. Now let's get the whole point of this tonight, that we need to understand about our own nature. And that our nature is wild by nature. We have that flesh. And let us understand that this meekness, it is being used to the hand. It's the ideal is describing a colt, an animal that has great power, great potential, but it has been broken and harnessed. And let me be very clear. It was once running wildly in the hills, but now it is disciplined for service. Now it's useful because the colt is used to the hand. For instance, its strength is not reduced, but its real value has been developed. You see, tonight, meekness is not that, boy, I tell you, we're never really going to live life to the fullest. No, it's the exact opposite of that. The ideal of meekness is that we are used to the hand. We are under the control of the Spirit of God in our lives. God has disciplined us, per se. And see, every colt had to be broken, or it could not fulfill its God-given function. Do you know that God has created us tonight for His purpose? We are not here to... By the way, once I came to know the Lord as my Savior, and God began to work in my heart and life, I began to understand that it's not for me to decide what I want to do with my life. It's for me to understand what God has created me for. And that God has a purpose for my life. And the colt is broken. It is used to the hand. It once was running wildly. It once was dangerous. It once was, in a sense, not usable. But now that it is used to the hand, now that it is broken and the bit is in its mouth and it is under control, there's great purpose and function for the colt. In fact, someone had to break the colt so that its power could be channeled into a constructive work. And brethren, tonight, do you understand something about all of our lives? That we have great purpose, but unless we understand the principle of meekness and being used to the hand of God under His control in our life, we will never fulfill what God has called us to do. You know, when I read through the Bible, and you come upon men's lives that could have been greatly used of God, and many of them often never reached their full potential, can I tell you, it's because they were not used to the hand. You think about Samson for just a moment. I mean, did he not have supernatural strength? By the way, I don't think Samson looked strong. I think that's why they never could figure out, Samson, how are you doing what you're doing? But Samson's life ended when he was, I mean, Samson's life was just, he lived in disobedience to God. He broke God's laws and all of that. But I believe Samson never learned the principle of meekness. In fact, by nature, all of us are like that unbroken horse. We really are. We resist God's hand. Sometimes we kick against God. We fight against God, what God is doing in our life. And as long as we are fighting God, we will never understand the principle of meekness. So meekness explained. Number two, meekness exemplified. How can we find in Scripture people who were meek? Well, I think we have to begin with Moses. In fact, Numbers chapter 12 tells us that Moses was meek above all men on the face of the earth. So if Moses was the meekest man at that time on the face of the earth, then let's understand something about Moses. Now, the Bible tells us, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men upon the face of the earth. In fact, let's think about Moses' early years. Was Moses a meek man in his early years? No. In fact, you know, Moses in his early years, you remember the day that he saw that Egyptian that was afflicting one of the Jewish people? What did Moses do? Well, Moses killed him and hid him in the sand. Now, you know something? There is something within all of us that we almost like that. You know why? It seems like just. Justice has been served. But that was not God's plan. In fact, Moses had to flee to the desert to learn to trust God and depend upon God, and Moses became a meek man. So what is this meekness? In fact, we know something later on in Moses' life when Moses was leading the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and leading them to Canaan land. Do you remember when Aaron and Miriam rose up against Moses in rebellion against him? How did Moses respond? Well, he responded very differently. In fact, he did not respond with a fleshly display of temper or pride. In fact, Moses didn't even fight back. In fact, he did not seek to defend himself against his accusers. Can I tell you what Moses did? Moses submitted himself to God. That's meekness. Moses didn't say a word. Instead, he waited patiently for the Lord to deal with Aaron and Miriam. In fact, Moses didn't fret over their critical words. Moses committed them unto God, and God himself came to Moses' defense. He endured the injury done to him with grace and humility, turning to the Lord in prayer to solve this issue rather than lashing out against them. Moses had the power to do something about it, but that power was under God's control. In fact, you know what meekness we can learn from Moses? It means committing your cause to God and not needing to defend yourself. Do you know what I've wanted to do a lot? Defend myself. Boy, I tell you, it seems almost unjust, does it not? Sometimes I've wanted to get up in church and defend myself. Sometimes I've wanted to say, hey, let me set the record straight. But brethren, meekness is when we understand that God understands. We know that God sees and God is ruling and overruling. And in fact, meekness does not show itself when we are wrong, but it's when we are right and we are falsely accused. That's when meekness shows itself. In fact, when we have the power and that ability to do something about it, but we commit it unto God's care, that is meekness. Here's another example, and that is David. Now, David's greatest victories were not with his hand, it was with David's heart. In fact, in 2 Samuel 24, we won't turn there for time's sake. Do you remember that David is being chased by King Saul? I mean, this is wrong. This is unjust. And you know the story. David is in that cave, and Saul and his men come into the cave. They don't know David's in there. In fact, David could have, with one instance, taken his sword and killed Saul, and all of his problems would have been taken care of, at least at that point. You know what David did. In fact, the men even said, David, look what God has done. I mean, God's brought him in here and a deep sleep is upon him. David, pin him to the ground. I mean, let us be done with this in this moment. But you know the story. David would not touch him. Can I tell you what that was? Meekness. In fact, something else about David. In 2 Samuel chapter number 16, do you remember when David's son Absalom had turned against his own father? No hurt like the hurt of a child. And can you imagine how David is having to flee his own kingdom? And you remember what took place in that moment? There was one of Saul's men's name, Shemaiah. You know what Shemaiah did? Shemaiah was throwing stones and he cursed David. Now, David had one of his mighty men named Abishai. And can I just be honest with you? I kind of like Abishai. You know why? Because Abishai, and I'm just kind of imagining here a spiritual imagination, but Abishai, I can see him saying, I mean, here's Shemaiah cursing and throwing rocks, and Abishai said, David, be right back. Going to kill that guy. Be right back here, all right? You kind of think, man, I like Abishai. Okay, I'm not going to touch him, but you can touch him, you know? And do you remember what David said? David's response was this. Now listen to this. Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. Well, that's hard to take, is it not? David said, God knows about it. God has allowed this for a purpose and for a reason. David had all the power and the authority to kill that man, and yet David displayed Bible meekness. We understand the greatest example of meekness is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think something about our Savior. In fact, the Bible talks about the gentleness and the meekness of Jesus. And by the way, Jesus was not a weak man. He was a man's man. It seems like often the world wants to depict Jesus as effeminate and weak, but that was not our Savior. And yet he had all power. You think of the day that Jesus died upon the cross when he could have called legions of angels to destroy, and rightly so. And yet Jesus, what did the Bible say? He opened not his mouth. That's meekness. In fact, we think of our Savior in Christ. We see meekness in his attitude toward his enemies, but also in his submission to his heavenly Father. You see, meekness is not some type of cowardness that we might think of. Meekness is submitting to God. In fact, I love what A.W. Tozer said about meekness. He said, the meek man is not a human mouse afflicted with a sense of his own inferiority. Rather, he is as bold as a lion and as strong as Samson, but he has stopped being fooled about himself. He has accepted God's estimate of his own life. He knows he is as weak and helpless as God declared him to be, but he also knows at the same time that he is in the sight of God of more importance than angels. In himself, nothing. In God, everything. I think Tozer had it right when he talked about this meek man is not some human mouse, but he understands God and God's ways. He's trusting in the Lord. Our Savior lived as no man ever lived. He humbled himself and he took upon himself human flesh. He became a servant. And by the way, you think of the picture of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. I think I would have been just like Peter. I think I would have said, Lord, not me. Don't wash my feet. We should be washing your feet. Lord, I'm a sinner and I know who I am. And yet Jesus took that towel. He girded himself and he washed their feet. You talk about humility. And can I tell you, that was meekness. You see, we really don't want to live a life of meekness, not in our flesh. We do not want to humble ourselves before others and before God. We do not want to submit ourselves. We reject meekness. But the Bible says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In fact, think of our Savior dying upon the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is meekness. Brethren, meekness is seen in bearing wounds. It is seen in forgiving others. And it is seen in returning good for evil. That is meekness. I believe the best test of meekness is found in the word attitude. And I want to give you something that I think will help us here tonight. Number one, what is your attitude toward the circumstances of life? You say, preacher, what do you mean? You see, too many people respond or react to the difficulties of life with worry, fear, or even anger. And by the way, often our anger is against God. We grumble, we murmur against God. You remember the children of Israel that in the wilderness wanderings, how often did they murmur against God? And you remember what Moses said to them, your murmurings are not against us, but they are against God. And you see often in life when our attitude toward life is that we think God has not been as good to us as he could have been, and we think that God has failed us in some way, it is evidence that we are not meek. The normal thing to do when people attack you is to get angry or to get defensive or to fret over it or to fight back. But that is not the spiritual thing to do. And you say, preacher, this goes against everything that I can think. That's exactly right, because it is a work of God in your heart. Meek people submit themselves and their enemies to God and let God handle the problem. So what is your attitude toward the circumstances of life? Number two, what is your attitude toward God's Word? You say, preacher, what does God's Word have to do with meekness? Take our Bibles, go to James chapter number 1. And I want you to see this tonight because I think this will help us. James chapter number 1, and we look in verse number 19. James chapter number 1, you see, true meekness goes far deeper than our attitude toward God. It is really our attitude towards God's Word. And I want to be very clear tonight. Do you know that your attitude towards the Bible is really your attitude toward God? He has given us His precious Word. The Word is God's spoken Word to us. In fact, James chapter 1, look what it says in verse number 19. Let's begin there. James chapter 1 and verse number 19. The Bible says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Have you ever wondered what that means, the wrath of man? It goes against what God is trying to do in our life. And verse number 21 says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with, what's the next word? Meekness, the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now, the emphasis here is not just to save your soul from hell, but it's to save your soul in life and to keep you from the pitfalls of the devil. Brethren, we are to receive the word of God with meekness. The ideal that we are under his hand and we are used to his hand, we submit to his word, we give in to what God tells us. You see, what is your attitude toward the Bible? It is our heart conformity to God's Word and His commands without murmuring, without sulking. By the way, what does the Bible tell us about giving? God loveth what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. The Bible does not say that God loves a hateful giver, a disgruntled giver. Now, we know that God loves us all, but the emphasis is there. God is pleased when we give out of heart obedience. Can I tell you what real obedience is? It's not just obeying the Lord. It's delighting in obeying the Lord. As a parent, I don't want my children to obey by kicking and screaming and punching holes in the wall. I want them to obey with a heart attitude of, yes, I'm doing this unto the Lord. I'm doing this out of love. And brethren, how do we view God's Word? Is it that, okay, I've got to read the Bible and I've got to obey God's Word? It should be, I get to obey God's Word. And we come with meekness. And can I tell you, when a preacher is preaching and people have a meek spirit, it is wonderful to preach to people like that. You know why? Because they're saying, whatever God speaks to my heart about, I'm already determined I'm going to obey the Lord. That's meekness. They receive with meekness the engrafted word. Bible meekness begins with our heart submission toward God and then our attitude toward man. It always begins with God. In fact, it is first private with God and then public toward man. That's Bible meekness. And number three, and here's a big question, what is your attitude toward other Christians who sin? What is it about us and about me that we would rather hear about someone that had sinned against God and done something terribly wrong rather than hearing about the blessing and success of someone else? Can I tell you why? Because of our flesh. You see, Bible meekness is that we do not receive the news with joy or some kind of deep-seated pleasure, and that we do not seek to spread it. By the way, am I pleased that they have sinned because their fall makes me look a little better? Am I happy about their sin because it makes me seem like I'm a little more spiritual? In fact, when a Christian has fallen into sin, we have the power, we have the ability to hurt him or her, but meekness is power under control. Now, brethren, I'm not saying that we should cover sin. I'm not saying that we should compromise sin. We need to call sin by what sin is, and sin needs to be dealt with. But take our Bibles and let's go to Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 1. And I want you to see what God's Word tells us about this issue of restoration and encouraging and trying to restore. Now, we understand some people don't want to be restored. Some people do not want to listen. But we have that power to hurt. Meekness is that we understand that but by the grace of God, we could do the very same thing. I think the chapel today, or maybe it was with the young men that I was speaking to in Preacher Boys this morning. I remember years ago, I had a good friend who was a youth pastor, and we were close, and he preached for me, I preached for him, and he was about my same age and married, and I think he had a child or two. And good, godly, talented young man who was a youth pastor, same time I was, and we'd do activities together and all of that. And then I got the call one day that he had been unfaithful to his wife and was going to have to leave the ministry. And I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget where I was. I hung the phone up, and I was driving down the road. I know I shouldn't have talked on the phone, but I did. But I remember at that point, I was grieved, I was broken, but I said this, God, I know that that could be me, but I pray that it never is. You know why? Because to him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And also, what's our attitude toward other people that sin? Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, look at this, restore such an one in the spirit of, what's the next word? Meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, this word here that is used to restore, doctors used to use this word in Paul's day when it meant setting a bone. A bone that had been dislocated had to be set. Years ago, I fell and dislocated my elbow. Never have had pain quite like that. And I remember I went in, and of course, the doctors put me to sleep, which I'm grateful for that, and they set that bone. You know what? It would have never been right. I mean, it was locked and it was hurting and that was not in its proper place. Brethren, let's understand something. Yes, we take a strong stand against sin. Yes, we preach holiness and righteousness and all of that. But let us be people who display the spirit of meekness, that when people have fallen, that we are quick to help restore them in the spirit of meekness. In the spirit of meekness. You see, when a Christian falls into sin, do you know what? It affects the entire body of Christ in a way that a broken bone affects the entire body. It must be restored. Brethren, our first response to a fellow believer's sin ought to be sorrow, ought to be pity, and then a desire to help them get back into fellowship with God. I understand that there may be things that people do that maybe they have to forfeit certain responsibilities, at least for a certain amount of time. And I'm not saying that I understand all of that and have all the answers to that. But here's what I'm saying. In the spirit of meekness, we ought to be quick to restore, to bring them back into fellowship. Now, we know that there needs to be sorrow unto repentance. We understand that. But meekness is our attitude towards others when they sin. Number three, meekness enriched. Now, what does this mean about enriched? Well, there's a blessing for this beatitude. Blessed are the meek, for they shall, what? Inherit the earth. What does that mean? I mean, let's be honest. This world is not my home. We're just passing through. I think the longer that we all live here, the less of this world we really want. In fact, do we not long for heaven the longer we live here on earth? How many would be honest and say that? Yeah, I mean, this world is not getting better and better. This world, the Bible says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. So it cannot be that we are to desire this earth in the sense of the spirit of this earth. No. It means that here on earth, we can live victoriously, knowing that we are more than conquerors in Christ through Him that loved us. Knowing that we are free here. We do not have to live in bondage to sin, nor to the circumstances of life. You know, some people live under the circumstances of life. And I have been guilty just like anybody else. And we live kind of under that. But when we're under the hand of God, we are used to His hand in a sense. We're under His control. We're under His harness. That brings great peace. Go with me to Psalm chapter 37, if you would please. Because when the Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek," can I tell you where He was quoting from in the Bible? Psalm 37. So let's turn there tonight because I want you to see this. And as we come to Psalm chapter 37, we know that this psalm is a great conflict between the righteous and the wicked. And it almost appears that the wicked are winning and the righteous are losing. But notice what the psalm teaches us. Psalm chapter 37, verse number 1. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." You remember that verse I talked about, that the meek, they will eat and be satisfied. Verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Wait a minute, that sounds exactly like the meek. We read on, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." God tells us that the meek inherit the earth. And I want to be very clear about this. The ideal is that we are here on earth, but God is in control. We're under His hand. We're used to His hand. We're trusting in Him. The circumstances that have come to our life are not by accident. God, in His providential wisdom, has allowed all that has come to us. I don't understand all of the things that come to my life. Some of them are unsolved mysteries. But meekness is my attitude toward God as I'm trusting Him. And when I look in this psalm, I want to give you just a couple of things. Can I tell you what meek people, they, number one, trust in God. They trust in the Lord. You know, it's easy to return insult for insult, is it not? It's easy to lose our temper. But meekness is when you are reviled that you revile not again, just like Jesus. It's meekness to return a smile for a frown, to give a blessing for a curse. Meek people believe that God is working for them and will vindicate them and will take care of all of that. They trust in God. But can I tell you something else we find in this passage? They commit their way to God. The word "commit" literally means to roll. And the ideal is they've rolled their problems upon God because they believe God is trustworthy. They've rolled everything, their business, their issues, their relationship, their health, their fears, their frustrations. They roll them upon God. "God, I cannot bear these." And no, we cannot bear them. They commit their way to God. But number three, they are quiet before God and wait for Him. You know, meek people are quiet or still before the Lord. They're waiting patiently. Now, this does not mean laziness. It doesn't mean being passive. But they're waiting on God to do His work. By the way, I heard about a preacher years ago, a famous preacher. And a pastor came in to see him in his office, and he was pacing back and forth. And the pastor said, "Brother, what is wrong?" He said, "Well, I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." And boy, does it not seem that way sometimes? God, hurry. It needs to be done now. But God is waiting. In fact, the Bible says that He waits to be gracious to us. God is waiting, and we must wait upon Him and be quiet before Him. There is a calmness in His omnipotence. There is a calmness in it, and that God is in control, and He is ruling and overruling, and that He will do what is best. Number four, they don't fret over the wicked. Well, I tell you, the longer I live, the harder I have to deal with the wicked. I don't understand. It seems as if they get away with it. And yet, the meek person, they don't fret over the prosperity of the wicked. They leave it with God. In fact, God says He'll take care of it in His time. Number four, meekness enable. I want to know how to have meekness. Well, let me tell you, in closing, go to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter 11, and we have to see this because I know meekness does not come naturally. Meekness is a result of the Spirit of God's work in our life. By the way, as we think about the fruit of the Spirit, you know it's not called the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I mean, we read that whole list, and do you know what is a part of the fruit of the Spirit is meekness. And let us be clear, meekness is not something that we can manufacture. It's not something, okay, today I'm going to be a meek person. I'm going to do it. No. Meekness is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's cultivated by God's work in our heart. Nothing but the Holy Spirit can humble us. Nothing but the Holy Spirit can make us, in a sense, any of these Beatitudes, poor in spirit, or blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. It is the right view of ourselves in the right view of God, in that we have submitted to Him. By the way, we have no excuse for not being meek because the Holy Spirit indwells every child of God. You may say, well, I didn't grow up that way, and well, I just kind of got this spirit in me. I just like to take care of things and deal with people. But meekness is we're trusting in the Lord. Brethren, it's not something that you and I do in our own strength. It's a character that God produces in us. But I want you to look in Matthew chapter 11, and I want us to come to this very precious passage in verse number 28. Notice the words of our Savior. Listen to what He said. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Look what He says. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. And then look at this phrase. For I am, what's the next word? Meek. And lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Jesus said, come unto Me. Can I tell you where we learn meekness? We learn it from our Savior. We learn it from being alone with Him. He teaches us to wait upon Him. He teaches us to trust Him. Maybe you're dealing with something in your life right now that you don't understand it, and you're almost angry about it to God, and I have been there. I remember one day my wife looked at me, bless her heart. You know, women sometimes can preach to their husbands, and we need it. And you know what she said to me? Honey, let God have His way. Well, I didn't want God to have His way in my heart. I wanted my way to be done. I was going to fix this. I was going to make this happen. And my wife, honey, let the Lord, let Him. Well, can I tell you what meekness is? It's submitting to His way. It is yielding to Him. Brethren, tonight, God wants us to be people of meekness, but it's not that we say, honey, I'm going to be meek for the rest of the day, all right? This week I'm going to be meek. No, it's a work of the Spirit of God as we submit to Him and we come unto Jesus who said, I am meek and lowly in heart. And by the way, You know what? Sometimes we think of our Savior not meek, that the Lord's mad at us. He's against us. When he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? And Jesus said, I am meek. You can approach me. You can come unto me, and I will give you rest. Tonight, the true strength of meekness. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, I do not know the people of this church and their needs, but you know them. Lord, I know that often in life I have wanted to take things into my own hands. And I've wanted to straighten out things, and I have often not displayed a spirit of meekness. Lord, may we learn meekness at thy feet. Help us tonight. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many would be honest and say, Preacher, I'm dealing with something right now in my life that I've struggled with being upset at God over. Would you pray for me tonight? Would you lift your hand and hold it high? Amen. I appreciate your honesty. How many would say tonight, Pastor, I'm dealing with something. I'm having a hard time being patient on the Lord and waiting on Him. Would you pray for me tonight? That's me, Preacher. Amen. And tonight, how many would say, Preacher, God has dealt with me that I need what the Spirit alone can produce in my life, and that is meekness. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Preacher, I need it. Yes. Let's stand together, would you please? And I'm going to ask the piano to begin to play tonight. And tonight, would you just follow God's word? Come unto Him. Come to this altar tonight if God has spoken to you. Bring whatever it is that you need to bring to the Lord. Impatience, bring it to Him. He's meek. He's lowly in heart. You're upset with God. I've been there. You've been there. Bring it to Him. Maybe tonight you say, Lord, produce in me the spirit of meekness. Under His hand, used to His hand, resting in Him. I'm thankful that our Savior is meek and lowly in heart. He's approachable. We can come to Him. And what a blessing it is. God has spoken to you. Would you leave your seat and come?